Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, it was great to get a few vacation days in. Big thanks to David Noble for doing a great job, as always, covering down on the show. But now I'm back just in time for the silly season. Yeah, after Labor Day, that's when the silly season of politics really starts to gear up, because this is when desperate politicians really start to get desperate, and then the fake news media propping up these desperate politicians, they get even more desperate with their fake news media reporting. We see that here in Montana, and we're certainly seeing it following the debate last night. I mean, especially the national media. I mean, they are raining down cats and dogs coverage. And I'm just sitting here thinking, why are they clutching their pearls over cats and dogs? Clutching their pearls over ducks and geese. I mean, they're clutching their pearls over whether migrants are killing cats and dogs or not, whether migrants are killing ducks and geese or not, even though there's testimony before city councils in Ohio pointing to migrants killing cats and killing ducks and geese. There's 911 audio tapes of residents calling in saying that this is happening. But no. They're clutching their pearls over cats and dogs, even though illegal aliens have been outright raping and murdering American girls and American women and American mothers. But they clutch their pearls over cats and dogs. Yeah, we are definitely entering the silly season of politics. And you see it right here in Montana in particular as well, especially when it comes to the topic of health care. I had one of our listeners in Wolf Point, I think it was, sent me a really good question. Hey, Aaron, have you seen or heard these ads by liberal Senator John Tester claiming that his opponent is going to shut down our healthcare facilities? And I'm sitting here thinking, well, wait a minute. Why were these rural healthcare facilities threatened with a shutdown to begin with? First off, John Tester supported Obamacare, which has destroyed health care in America, which caused your health insurance premiums to skyrocket. But then on top of that, what have we seen in just the last three to four years with their COVID restrictions that John Tester's party supported? They were kicking nurses to the curb. They were kicking healthcare workers to the curb. We had callers from, you know, on the boards of several healthcare facilities all across Montana who were telling us if they move forward with these mandates and with these restrictions, it will shut down our nursing home. It will shut down our rural hospitals. Which political party was supporting those mandates and those restrictions? John Tester actually threatened rural healthcare facilities. But yet he's the one claiming in these ads that his opponent is the one threatening rural health care. Oh, for Pete's sake. Anyway, Tim Sheehy had a great response in the Bozeman Daily Chronicle out yesterday. I'll share a portion of that and much more right after this. Open phones for the full hour.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, what a turnout in Lewistown, Montana. You know, I largely tuned out the news while I was, off for a family wedding and, had the whole family and got to take a few vacation days. So I largely tuned out the news, put the auto reply on all the emails and everything like that so I could get to it when I get back here. But this one caught my eye. I checked in on X one day, and I saw this photograph from Lewistown, Montana, and I was like, holy cow. Man, that kind of turnout in small town Lewistown, Montana, you know, which I know for central and eastern Montana, it's not a small town for central and eastern Montana, but compared to Bozeman and Billings and Missoula, if you had turnout like they had for Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy and Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton, who were both on the show last week while I was out, if you had turnout like that in Billings or Bozeman, you'd be like, wow, that is a massive turnout. And that's the turnout they got in Lewistown, Montana. I saw that photo and I was like, wow, something big is happening in Montana. All right, we'll talk about Tim Sheehy firing back on these phony attack ads regarding health care. But why not start with one of your phone calls? We've got Ron and Big Fork on the line. Ron, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
A while back, you remember Rush Limbaugh used to say, if you find yourself really agitated constantly, turn off the damn TV for a week. And I did that months ago. I won't watch the debate. It's all a bunch of garbage. The left and the right, the news media on both sides just agitates us and makes us want to go back to the TV. It's all psychology. And now every day, and I am not exaggerating, I get two flyers in the mail. Tim Sheehy's gonna do away with your Medicare and this and that. Every day. And these are testers' proxies doing this. And then they have a big union label stamp on them. That really gets me, because union members, the rank and file, are good people. People don't know the unions that support leftists. During World War II, do you know the United Mine Workers shut down the mines and the production facilities? So the left is on the wrong side of everything, but I watch the YouTube, all kinds of things on YouTube. Every 5 minutes, there's a tester ad on.
Yeah.
I'm sick and tired of this morbidly obese slug. So I'm sorry to vent, but I just can't stand tester anymore.
Well, I think people aren't falling for his shtick anymore. And on the healthcare thing, I actually had one of our, Ron, thanks for the call. I had one of our listeners, I think it was in Wolf Point, sent me an email. While I was out, you know, I'm trying to catch up. I probably got a bunch of emails that I still haven't even seen yet, but was asking, hey, what's Tim Sheehy's position on health care? I listened in on their conversation last week with he and Tom Cotton. That was a great conversation. But he's got a new op-ed in the Bozeman Daily Chronicle where he says this. It's clear that John Tester is a desperate man doing desperate things, including spreading outright lies, fear-mongering, and misleading Montanans, particularly on health care. Sheehy says this, as U.S. Senator, I will protect rural hospitals and increase Montanans' access to affordable, high-quality health care. And I will always protect Montanans with pre-existing conditions and make sure the politicians back in Washington don't touch Medicare. Our nation made a promise to our seniors to protect their Medicare and Social Security benefits, and I will honor that promise and preserve the benefits they've earned. Now, on the flip side, he says this, John Tester is the only candidate in this race who supported slashing Social Security benefits, cutting Medicare up to $716 billion, and raiding Social Security and Medicare accounts to pay for reckless spending and the Biden-Harris Tester illegal immigrant invasion. So it's a great piece there, laying it out by Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy. If you want to check it out at the Bozeman Daily Chronicle website. All right, let's go to Mike in Glendive next up on the phone lines. Mike, what's going on?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment about, they ran an ad here in the Glendive newspaper. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. Go ahead.
They ran an ad here, a one-page ad, that Tim Sheehy was going to shut Glendive Medical Center down. I actually work at EMVH, Eastern Montana Veterans Home. Here's the difference. EMVH is run by eDural. It's a for-profit organization. Okay. Glendive Medical Center is a not-for-profit organization. In other words, when he's saying they're going to shut down Glendive Medical Center because he wants to privatize it, well, why did they run an ad that he's going to shut down Eastern Montana Veterans Home, because that's not going to happen. And the point I'm making is government, our government is all non-for-profit. That's why we're so far in debt. See what I'm saying? How many people in this country are on government medical? A lot. And they just keep going further and further in debt because they don't have to show a profit on the bottom line. See what I'm saying?
Well, and we're nearly $36 trillion in debt now, too. And so that threatens every single one of these programs if we don't get government spending under control, right? As Tim Sheehy pointed out, John Tester is the only one in this race who actually supported slashing Social Security and Medicare. He's taking your money and giving it to illegal aliens and all of these other countries right now. And yet he floods the airwaves and even buys ads in newspapers, claiming the opposite. Hey, Mike, thanks for the call.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Let's see. This is very Keystone-y pipeline-y. Very Keystone-y pipeline-y movement right here. Here we go. That's the only Hopi change. That's the only way I could think to describe what's going on here. I think one of our listeners in eastern Montana called in yesterday and talked about the SAVE Act. The SAVE Act. Are you guys familiar with the SAVE Act? So the SAVE Act, where did I put that Federalist article? I just found it earlier this morning, and then I said it somewhere. Anyway, Federalist.com has a good write-up here about how in the latest spending battle, congressional Republicans are working to attach the SAVE Act to the spending bills, which would basically work to prevent illegal aliens from voting in our elections. And of course, Senate Democrats like Chuck Schumer and crew do not want the SAVE Act to save America from illegal aliens voting in our elections. Well, that's kind of curious, isn't it? Now, flip-flop flat top, John Tester, he claims that he supports the SAVE Act, kind of like how he claimed he supported the Keystone XL pipeline, kind of like how he claims he supports border security. Yet we saw what happened to the Keystone pipeline, and we see what's happening with border security. Well, Burgess Everett is with Politico, a left-leaning publication. He shared this, and he says, incumbent Montana Democrat Senator Tester says he supports the SAVE Act, which is proof of citizenship for voting, but he does not want it attached to the spending bill. See, because if you attach it to the spending bill, then it's more likely to pass, and John Tester doesn't want it to pass, so that's why he doesn't want to attach it to the spending bill. In other words, he's a complete phony who will tell you that he supports the SAVE Act, but then vote against it when it matters the most. Just like he will tell you that he supported the Keystone XL pipeline, but then votes against it when it matters the most. Jeremy Carl, senior fellow with the Claremont Institute, who lives in Bozeman, shared that tweet by Burgess Everett and then added this. I've said it before and I'll say it again. John Tester is the biggest fraud in the Senate. I cannot wait to vote against him. Sherry in the Gallatin Valley emailed us about the debate last night. Here's what Sherry in the Gallatin Valley had to say. Kamala says that she isn't taking away our guns and that she has a gun. If I remember her comment correctly. Remember, the communist and Marxist government officials, guards, and elites always had guns. But they made sure that the common people did not have a means of defending themselves. That includes not only guns, but sufficient food and even their own homes. Great point there by Sherry in the Gallatin Valley. Sarge in Kalispell next up on the phone lines. Sarge, what's going on?
Thank you much. I appreciate you guys, you know, all that you do, and the information you guys get out, and also the platform you give the people to call in and express their views and opinions. So just thank you for that.
Well, that's the best part of the show. Thank you.
About the debate last night, I don't know how if anybody noticed. I'm sure they did, but, you know, their professional ABC news reporter, David Murr, I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce his name, but he started out stating that Vice President Harris and President Trump were elected 4 years ago. I don't know, on the very first question. And then, so this started out on a lie, a falsehood, of course, and then her response was a lie. And so that whole thing set the whole tone right there. They kept Trump on the defensive. And I think he did pretty good responding, you know, calling out the lies. That's the first time I've heard people say it's a lie, not a misspoke or whatever. But he called it out for a lie as it was, you know, and he did that quite a bit. The only thing I was a little bit hesitant with, and he responded good, but they said that the one reporter, Ann Harris, said, you know, it's not illegal in any state to have an abortion after, or, you know, to kill a baby after it's born or have 9 month abortion. He never said that. He should have said, this is just me. He should have responded, I never said it was legal, but they're talking about it in states doing these things. And so, but I think he responded good and came back with facts.
Yeah, and they never once fact-checked Kamala Harris. They never once tried to hold her feet to the fire. I mean, she was asked a very good question, which is, I think Trump was the one that asked her the question, where do you stand? Or I think even the ABC gal asked her the question, do you believe there should be any limits or any restrictions on abortion whatsoever? And Kamala never answered the question because she is a no-limits-on-abortion radical. And yeah, President Trump's point about how radical the left is right now on abortion, Stephen Miller shared this old audio of former Virginia Governor Ralph Northam. Remember this one?
If a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. So I think this was...
But the ABC so-called fact checkers argued with President Trump about that documented point right there. Hey, Sarge, thanks for the phone call. Great to hear from you. Next up, we've got Mike in Warden. Mike, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Morning.
Morning.
I happened to call John Tester's field office in Billings this morning and asked when the next public land auction was going to be. And she said she didn't know, but someone would get back to me as soon as they could find out for me.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny.
I've called there several times. I called once trying to get John's position on immigration, and we'll get right back to you. That's been over a year now, and I've never heard a word from him, but they know who I am. He said, thank you for your call, Mr. X, and that was the end of the conversation.
Oh, yeah, they document everything when you call in. They know who you are. They got little codes they put next to your name, and then you'll get a form letter in the mail about a month from now. Thank you so much for contacting us. Don't hesitate to ever reach out if you have any more concerns. Golly.
I don't even get the form letters.
You don't even get those anymore. All right.
No.
They're saving the paper on that one. Well, we know they don't support the timber industry, so that might explain why you don't get the paper. All right. Mike, thanks for the phone call. 406-294-0970, the number for you. Jason in Polson next up. Jason, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
Hey, I actually had a poem here that I wanted to read. And it comes from the biblical man who writes on Substack. Okay. So here we go. It's real short. Darkness, thick as fire, oozes through my veins. Choking hope, straggling joy, feeding on my pain. I'm a branch withered, fruitless and alone. My leaves are ash, my core is turning stone. Depression's teeth gnaw deep into my soul. leaving me hollow, broken, far from whole. I'm drowning in a sea of inking black, gasping for air, flat on my back. But hark, a voice cuts through the deafening gloom. I'm the vine, it echoes, dispelling doom. Ye are the branches, the words pierce my heart. A lifeline thrown, a chance for a new start. John 15 speaks of life that flows. From vine to branch is how we grow. Without me, ye can do nothing, Christ declares. A truth that strips me bare and then repairs. I feel the gardener's hands, rough yet kind, pruning away the decay of my mind. It hurts, by God, it hurts like hell. But through the pain, I start to swell. Sap flows anew, life surges strong. I'm grafted in where I belong. No longer bent by sorrow's weight, I stretch toward heaven, no longer faint. These things I've spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This promise rings true. In submission to Christ, I find my place, rooted in love, sustained by grace. The darkness still lurks, a shadow nearby, but now I'm armed with heaven's supply. I'm no longer alone, no longer apart. Christ's life flows through me, igniting my heart. So let the word see this branch once dead, now bursting with life, by Jesus led. In him, all weather, whatever may come, for I'm gutted and grafted, with him I am one. Thank you, Aaron.
Hey, thank you
for allowing me to share that.
Yeah, what prompted you to share that this morning?
Well, I personally believe that our country needs to unite around our true Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and follow his teachings.
Yeah.
And then God's fury will be released off our country. We're under God's punishment for the actions of our people.
We used to unite around faith and our Constitution, right? And now faith is under attack. And people of faith peacefully protesting are being thrown behind bars. And our Constitution is under attack. And then people wonder why we can't unite as a country like we did, you know, 23 years ago after the 9/11 terror attacks. No. Thanks for the call. Great to hear from you, Jason. And whoever's slinging that hammer in the background, tell them thanks for helping to build this country as well. All our construction workers out there doing important work. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Who did we not? Oh, Ben in Billings. You're first up. I hope you can stick around. I know it's been a little bit of a wait. Ben in Billings, first up on the phone lines right after this. You can call in or you can even message us on our Montana Talks app. If you've got something you want to talk about here on the show, Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
As ranchers continue to assess damage caused by wildfires to their operations and their livestock, the Producer Partnership, the nonprofit organization that processes donated livestock and high-quality protein for food banks and schools across Montana. Now, Pearson with the Producer Partnership says they are helping producers get their livestock from the fire-impacted areas to their processing plant in Livingston.
You know, these guys in fires, these animals get injured, they get burned, and especially the feet. We see a lot of animals that get really bad feet after an event of this nature. We wanted to be here to offer up another solution for them. You know, they can donate the animal, we can bring them here, we'll come pick them up, they'll get a tax letter back, but we can then process them through our federally inspected plant and then bring that protein back into those hard-hit areas.
Again, producers will receive a tax incentive for donating to the nonprofit. The animals must be able to walk into the trailer for them to transport to their facility as well. The Producer Partnership is the only USDA federally inspected, owned, and operated nonprofit processing facility in Montana, and they take those cull animals, process them at no charge, and the donors receive a tax contribution letter stating the amount of protein processed for their contribution, and will give it to those in need across the state. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
And I don't even speak French here. I got a message from Michael in Bozeman on the Montana Talks app. The next debate should be on Fox News, moderated by Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly. And then let's see, I'm not good at French here. Laissez les bon temps roulez, something. What, is this a Cajun French phrase? Laissez les bon temps roulez. I don't even know, roulez. Apparently it means let the good times roll. Oh, you think Kamala Harris would have the guts to go on a 3-on-1 debate, Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, Donald Trump against her? Donald Trump has that kind of courage. She does not. John Tester does not have that kind of courage. Heck, John Tester won't even come on here and take your phone calls. He's that big of a chicken. Richard in Jordan sent us this. I watched the debate from an hour before it started and an hour after it ended. Trump approached that debate as though it was a failed ambush. He first softened the target with artillery, nonstop commercials against Kamala. Then he went straight after her, rooting out her complete incompetence. He was the soldier that walked away victorious and left all three of his enemies buried in the rubble. That's from Richard in Jordan. Our last caller shared a poem, and it reminded me, our producer Travis Lee has a story on our Montana Talks website right now. And Travis apparently was playing around with ChatGPT, you know, one of these AI artificial intelligence platforms. So he had ChatGPT whip up some cowboy poetry for him. But he put some parameters on it. He wanted some Shakespearean theme and something else, some other kind of specific poem. Anyway, if you go to MontanaTalks.com, you can see the ChatGPT cowboy poetry that our producer Travis whipped up for you. Back into the phone lines we go. We've got Ben in Billings, hopefully, still there. Ben, are you there?
I am. Good morning, Montana. The children, the children, the children, save the children. Save the animals. Well, what about saving the United States of America? So I had a field report here in town in Billings. I decided just to do a drive-by at the Family Services food pantry and interviewed a younger couple. You know, they didn't speak English. They dressed like Mesolo or South Americans, Europeans basically, and they were nice. They were from Venezuela. I was like, you know, that was last Friday. So the previous Friday, they flew into Billings here. And I asked them about that. They flew a Delta flight from Colombia. So they left Venezuela, had a holdover in Colombia for 2 or 3 weeks or 2 or 3 months. And they took a Delta flight. And I'm like, you got a passport? You had a passport? And I asked him about the UN card. You got a UN, a United Nations card? He's like, no. No, Social Security card comes next week.
Well, you know, it's not hard to think that that would be happening because remember, you know, at School District 2 in Billings, opened one of three charter schools was entirely dedicated to, you know, non-English speaking students as they were expecting this influx. That reminds me, Steve Galloway out of Great Falls sent me this story about an outfit called Child Care Connections in Bozeman. Apparently, Child Care Connections helps daycare services, early learning programs, things like that. Somebody else is now getting the contract from the state instead of this Child Care Connections place. But at the end of this KBZK TV article, it talked about how, you know, one of the challenges is going to be all of the Spanish-speaking population. They're very concerned that if this Child Care Connections place goes out of business, that it's going to have a really bad impact on all of the Spanish-speaking folks in Bozeman. So apparently that's been a big part of that state contract. Anyways, but they're now losing that state contract is what it sounds like. Anyway, I just thought that was interesting. It's like, wow. That many Spanish-speaking families that your program is more concerned about them right now. if you lose the contract. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Let's see. Who do we got next up on the phone lines here? Frank in Billings next up. Frank, what's going on?
Trump missed his spot when they asked him why he didn't or why he wanted the border bill shut down. They wanted 2,500 people a day to come through the border before they would consider shutting down the border. That's not a closed border.
That's right. And then the more agents they were going to assign from that phony so-called border bill, they weren't going to be there to stop people from illegally breaking into this country. They were going to be there to process in to the country the people breaking into the country. Yeah, I think the frustration a lot of the Trump supporters had with the debate last night is there is so much to attack with the Harris-Biden tester record that, you know, everybody's like, oh, well, you could have attacked this, you could have attacked that, you could have attacked this, you could have attacked that, because there is so much to attack in the last 3.5 years of this failed record, right?
Yep. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. All right, thanks, Frank. Thanks for calling. Let's see. A couple of things that I've got on our Montana Talks website here. I talked earlier about how, you know, while I was out for the last few days, I thought it was crazy the massive turnout that Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy, who is the U.S. Senate candidate taking on liberal Senator John Tester, he along with Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton were in Lewistown last week. And my goodness, look at that turnout. Look at the massive turnout they got in Lewistown, Montana, KQPZ country there. I've got the photo and more on our Montana Talks website. Plus, if you're like me and I was on vacation last week, so I missed the live audio. I've got the podcast audio featured in that story as well, in case you missed it. But there was another that's what caught my eye while I was gone, was this massive turnout in Lewistown. There was something else that caught my eye. You know, I opened up this show here this hour talking about how desperate the Tester campaign is getting. And when I say the Tester campaign, I also mean the Montana media, because most of the Montana media is the Tester campaign. Have you noticed how the company that Tim Sheehy and his wife started in Bozeman, Montana, before he was a United States Senate candidate, they loved his company. They wrote all these articles about how great this company is. They wrote all these articles about how much good things his company is doing. The people that are employed, the money that they're giving back to support hospitals, to help build a level one trauma center here in Montana, a major donation. I mean, look at, they loved Bridger Aerospace. Oh, but then once he became the Republican U.S. Senate candidate in Montana, immediately they pounced. They started attacking Bridger Aerospace, the fake news media, some liberal business professor from the University of Montana. Well, now some Wall Street schmuck is jumping in on it. Robbie Starbuck, if you guys know who Robbie Starbuck is, he had a great takedown of this political warfare being waged against Bridger Aerospace. I got permission from Robbie Starbuck to share that with you. I'll do that after the break. First, though, let's go to Chuck in Scobie on the phone lines. Chuck, thanks for the call.
You're welcome. I want to talk about this abortion on demand stuff. Oh, it's all mine. Months pregnancy.
Yeah. What's your thoughts?
I want to go back to 1994. My ex-wife now, Catherine Keller, Catherine Bryan, was Mrs. Montana. She was a spokesman for the Hope Pregnancy Center. And back then, she would say that she had an abortion because she was in a controlling and abusive relationship. I believe she had the abortion to try to get even with the father of this baby. And from what I know now, this baby was aborted at 6 to 9 months old.
Was this publicly reported, or?
She said that the dates I know, I talked to the people involved. I'm trying not to involve them.
Yeah, I just want to be careful about kind of airing, you know, private allegations, you know, that haven't been publicly reported, et cetera. That's just my hesitancy.
She said that she was in a controlling, abusive relationship. Okay. She spoke publicly about it all the time.
Oh, okay.
Like I said, she was a speaker for the Hope Pregnancy Center back then.
Is your point then that yes, late-term abortions are happening in America despite what the fake news media tries to tell you? Is that kind of your point?
Not only that, in Missoula...
Okay, hold that thought. I gotta hit our hard break here. Chuck, stand by.
When we have...
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so I was able to chat with Chuck and Scobie for a little bit more there during the break, just to try to you know, since we're short on time here, get a little bit more of the backstory. So Chuck, what you're basically saying is that one of the things that's left out of the abortion debate, and this was something that you saw as this, you know, former Miss Montana spoke publicly about the, you know, the dangerous ramifications of it, is that one thing that's left out of the debate is the level and the amount of coercion and intimidation by men against women to pressure them into these situations. That is underreported. But then also the post-traumatic stress that women who have had abortions have to endure is something that's never really talked about. Is that a good summary?
Yeah, very much so. You know, like I said, the PTSDs that my family, my kids suffered from the basically July through October and then again in February was unreal. You just walked on eggshells, and it was just like needles. And she didn't even realize she was doing it just because of the post-traumatic stress that she experienced.
Yeah, and you explained during the break that this was a separate relationship. This was that led to that circumstance. All right. Well, thanks for the call. Sorry, we are short on time. The DailySignal.com has this headline: Under Governor Tim Walz in Minnesota, of course, Kamala Harris's running mate, babies born alive in botched abortions were left to die. Then Walz removed reporting requirements. And that's why, you know, Kamala Harris, she wouldn't even answer the question on whether she supported any restrictions or any limitations whatsoever. So even those of you out there who would describe yourselves as pro-choice, would you agree with Kamala Harris and John Tester that there should be no restrictions whatsoever all the way up until the due date? It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. All right. I've got a couple more callers on the line. If I don't get time to play the Robbie Starbuck audio today, I'll get to it tomorrow. Let's go next to Bill in Wolf Point. Bill, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I was a little disappointed last night with the commentators. They never asked either one, President Trump, or Kamala Harris about how they would control the national debt. The other thing, they didn't press the issue with Kamala Harris about the all of the programs she was proposing about giving people money, forgiving college loans. Where's all this money coming from? I guess that's all I have. Thank you.
Oh, that's a great point, Bill. Yeah, thanks for listening to KVCK. Thanks for calling in. Stephen Moore with the Committee to Unleash Prosperity had the same point. He says it's pretty amazing that in a 90-minute debate, ABC never asked a single question about two of the most financially momentous issues of our time. Number one, the $35 trillion debt. And number two, Kamala Harris's disastrous $5 trillion tax hike. That would have been a fair question for both of them, right? Is okay. Hey, approaching $36 trillion in debt. What are you going to do about it? That would have been a fair question and a tough question for either one of them. Great point. Thanks, Bill. Let's see. We've got Regina in Great Falls. Regina, thanks for the call.
Hey, thank you for taking it. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, what's on your mind?
So I was just calling a little bit to visit about Kamala Harris and her great, joyful personality and her plans to create, you know, a fair and equitable economy for everyone, right? And she talks a lot about optimism. And I just wanted to let everyone know that you cannot feed your child optimism soup. We need a real change in our economy. You know, in February of 2023, our cost of eggs was 64.3% higher than the previous year. When you can no longer afford to feed your family a basic staple like eggs in the morning for breakfast, but she wants to hand out $25,000 of tax money, where else will it come from, to people to buy their first home, you know, wants to give people all of these free handouts. But she cannot answer a simple question about our economy and why in the last 3.5 years she hasn't done anything as the vice president. She is the absolute worst choice for America and for America's families if we want to be able to feed our children. I'm a single parent. I work hard. I do not receive any food stamp benefits, anything. When it is so impossible for me to pull together a meal for my child and I don't know what other people are going to do who do not have the ambition that I have to get out every day and work hard to feed my family.
God, you're lying. You can't feed your kids optimism soup. You know, optimism is a good thing. I think it's phony optimism that's coming from Kamala Harris. But yeah, no wonder she refused to answer the very first question last night. Are we better off now than we were 4 years ago? No wonder she refused to answer that question.
No, and people need to start vocalizing their true anger behind the inability to feed their children. Ground beef costs so much a pound now. You know, if I didn't have the relationship with my partner that I did, I don't know that I would be able to feed my child if he didn't exist in our reality that we're living in. Because our reality that we're living in is not what Kamala likes to portray.
And remember, as you know, Regina, John Tester is every bit as responsible for it as well. Regina, thanks for the call. Sorry we're out of time. We'll get more calls in.